Stefan Yah here, shalom to you, the bondage of black hats, and we're going to move right over to Exodus chapter 28. But well, let's just see about this. Exodus 28:40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets. Shalt thou make for them for esteem and for beauty. That was Exodus 28:40, or Shemoth. That's the same, that's the Hebrew word, I should say, Shemoth, or Exodus 28:40. All right, and that's speaking to Aaron, Aaron's sons there. Chapter 29, turn the page here to 29:9. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Also see Ezekiel chapter 44. For a basis for beginning a study about a certain subject, we go right to the very first place that it was spoken of, and here it was. The scriptures in Exodus 28 referring to the kippah, or bonnets, as it says there in the King James, bonnets. It's actually the kippah. And then some could argue, well, how about the coats there? Well, we'll see about that later. How about the girdles, you know? We'll just need to study about these things. But right now in our study, this is just as far as we've gotten. If you're wearing some kind of a other garment that is for Aaron's and his sons, well, let's have a look at that. Why would we do what Aaron and his sons are commanded to do, though? Then we look at 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a pure nation, a peculiar people. So here we're told we are priests of the Almighty. And if that's clear enough, then we'll go to Revelation 1:6. And then there's others too. I'm not going to go to everything. This is not an exhaustive study on the kippah on the hats. We would need to refer to other websites such as yati.org, that's yati.org, and caritecorner.org, and carite and corner both spelled with a K, that's carite-corner.org, and that'll lead you as you go through the process there. You can find out more about that. So I'm turning here in the meantime to Revelation chapter 1. And verse 6, and he, that is the Messiah, has made us kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father. To him be esteem and dominion forever and ever. Hallel Yahweh. Then in chapter 5, verse 10, I think that's just speaking of the Messiah here, but let's be sure and read that anyway. I've got that cross-reference. And he has made us unto our Yahweh, unto our Master, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's Revelation 5:10. And it was also Revelation 1:6. He has made us kings and priests. So then you could say, well, that's a different kind of priest and everything. But that's where we're coming from, looking at those scriptures so far. Also, Leviticus 8:13, since, you know, we need to set the basics first. We don't jump right into Paul's writings, into say the book of Galatians, to establish our basis for believing something or another, because you know, we had to find out then, well, what did Paul realize at the time? What scriptures did he know about? You know, we don't want to go about Jewish tradition either, you know, but we go according to scriptures. So we're going back to the Torah again, to Leviticus 8:13. It says, and Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets upon them, as Yahweh commanded Moses. So it's not just Moses who's making this all up. Yahweh commanded it. And if we look way back to Genesis chapter 26, then we see that these things were even done even earlier than that, before Moses. 1 Corinthians 11. Oh, yes, there it is. It is a shame for a man to cover his head. Is that right? Okay, well, therefore, Aaron and high priests were guilty of having a covering. was a shame for a man to cover his head. But now we started in the Torah. We gave those scriptures there, and giving the original intent and understanding, the original understanding. And we let these scriptures interpret Paul's writings. We don't let Paul's writings interpret all the other scripture. Paul came after. You know, you don't start at the end of a book. You start at the beginning. And I hear some halabyabas out there, some agreements. Paul's writing in verse 14. It says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, that it is a shame unto him?" So could we say that Moses and all of those up to this time, including the Messiah, were having a, you know, putting themselves to a shame? Now we'll go to the next verse. I think it might explain it there for us. Verse 15. 1 Corinthians 11:15. "But if a woman have long hair, it is esteemed to her," or beauty to her, "for her hair is given her for a covering." Here we have the explanation to it. "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the assemblies of Yahweh." So, no, we don't have a custom of just arguing. Even though this is not a minor issue, there is no minor issue in the scriptures. There are only priorities. So we started at the beginning. We went back there to Exodus, Leviticus, and we didn't yet go to Ezekiel. Yeah. Okay, I can do that quickly. That is real easy to find because it's a real long book, and I can do it quickly rather than take all day for you. 24:17, Ezekiel 24:17, and I like the bold, the giant print here. "Forbear." Okay, now I read these beforehand. 24:17, "Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire meaning hat, the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men." Now the lips, the word for lips there, is interpreted in Strong's Concordance as beard. So let me read that again here, maybe it'll make more sense. So, "Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire of thy head upon thee," or the hat upon thy head, "upon thee, and put on thy shoes on thy feet, and cover not thy beard." Do not cover thy beard, and eat not the bread of men. That was verse 17, then over to verse 23. We're speaking to mature believers here today. Not that those have to be people who have been around for 20, 30, or 40 years old in the faith. It could be someone who's only been saved for a year or so and who's really applied herself or himself and done a lot of prayer and study. Verse 23, "And your tires and your hats," in other words, "shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn toward another. So here we're speaking of a derogatory thing you shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities. But he's not saying, well, as punishment here, you need to put shoes upon your feet and a hat upon your head. And then you could back up earlier and you know, who is he speaking to? We'll use a little bit of that modern scholarship method here, even though we highly disapprove of it. "Speak unto the house of the chosen people," in the King James, "Israel. Thus saith Yahweh." So that's who's speaking, and that's who he's speaking to. It's the house of the chosen, to the northern kingdom. "Behold, I will profane my set-apart place, the excellency of your strength," and so forth. So that's that particular chapter of Ezekiel does not, the 24th chapter does not conclusively prove that a believer needs to wear a hat. I would think that the Exodus chapter 28. If one considers themselves to be a priest, no matter what kind, then that proves that priests need to wear hats, and we've been grafted into the good olive tree. We're Yavahoshas, we're the Messiahs. We need to love him and obey his commandments, and he wore the hat, and we should also, for James chapter 1. So James in the newer scriptures said in chapter 1, verse 25, but whosoever looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be a doer of the work, that's Yahweh's work, not only helping little old ladies across the street, but also obeying all the commandments, keeping his statutes and judgments, keeping his feasts, keeping his perfect name, keeping it all separated, keeping yourself separated, keeping the right attitude of heart. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And then in the next chapter, briefly, chapter 2, 8 through 12. But if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Love thy neighbor as thyself is from the Torah in Leviticus 19. But if you have respect in persons, you commit sin. I'm continuing now in James. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so some have said here, well, as a result, why should we keep the law then? Because, or don't try to keep any of it, because if we offend in one point, then we're guilty of all. Let's just trust in Yahweh and go out and do an undefined response of obedience. It's not clear what we're supposed to do. He's not saying that you can't keep the law, so you can't keep all of the law, so why try to keep any of it? Just give up. He's not saying that. If we read all of Scripture, then we'll know that that's not true at all. But actually, he's quoting now from the Torah in the very next verse. For he that said, do not commit adultery. So there you have the seventh commandment. And in this website, remember I referred you to yaddy.org and karitecorner.org. We remember our disclaimer that no one knows it all. No one has all the truth, and there's a little bit of difference in people's beliefs. So it's up to you. And I'm sorry that I cannot build fences around everything I say, as I'd be taking up your time for nothing, and most people already know what I'm going to say anyway. I'm just kind of reminding people and encouraging and being an exhorter and rebuking those who are out of step with Yahweh's commandments. Matthew 9, it certainly needs to be addressed there. Matthew 9, verse 20. A woman with an issue of blood touched Messiah's tzitzis. She said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She didn't just touch the fringe of his garment, I think it said in Luke. Not just the fringe, but it was the tzitzi, the cord that came out from his garment. The word kippah, for the hat, is used here today, kippah being the Hebrew term, and yarmulke is a country over in Russia, and I can't think here right at the moment. I'll get to it in a moment, but the kippah was suitable for our Messiah, and therefore suitable for me. Some would say that Yahweh made the law, and therefore could break his own law, are being very hypocritical there, because then that would make him the transgressor. He would not be the perfect lamb who died for our sins, and would make his personal standard, make the Messiah's or the Almighty Yahweh's personal standard lower than ours, and therefore he also becomes a transgressor of his own law. So that's not correct at all. He did not transgress. And research also exists that a small hat, a round hat, can be a solar disk, but a kippah is not a solar disk. A skull cap from Babylon, and it should not be worn by the separated believers of Yahweh. See the booklet Babylon Mystery Religion by Ralph Woodrow or C.J. Koster, Come Out of Her, My People, and they have great research on such pagan symbols and customs, such as the solar disk. And one of the websites there is isrmessianic.org. And then there's a way to get to that /pubs. If the wearing of kippah is sin, then the priests were sinning. We said that earlier. Can we change the shape of a man's round head? If it's, you know, his head would be a solar disk. No, we will leave that issue alone. So if this round hat or kippah is unpalatable, we might add a couple of dog ears to it or stick a bill on it somewhere, such as like a baseball cap. But I wouldn't do that. The word for hat or kippah in the Hebrew is a pier, 6287, bonnet, tire, beauty. Or another Hebrew word is migba'ah, a cap. That's number 4021. And it describes a towel wrapped around the head, a turban. The Savior, Messiah, and the emissaries wore the proper Hebrew attire. And the word yarmulke certainly is Yiddish, and we do not use that term here. We'd like to use the proper Hebrew term. Yarmulke is from the Yiddish-speaking people. The Hebrew word is kippah. And then again, the garment now. We're going to switch gears a little bit here to the garment, the tallit. The tallit with a tzitzit. The ribbon of blue ought to be worn by all. Numbers 15:37. Speak unto the Hebrew children, you and I, and bid them that they make them fringes, a ribbon of blue, a thread of blue. The scriptures on the tallit there. Numbers 15:37. There are many others. Scriptures on beards. And these don't apply only to priests, by the way. I should have brought that out there in the article on the internet, but this applies to all the, what did he say there? How is that worded? Speak unto the Hebrew children, you and I, and bid them, now I'm putting in that word you and I there. Speak unto the Hebrew children and bid them, you're not Hebrew? What are you? Are you Greek then? Because they killed off all the others, except for a few. Scriptures on beards are Leviticus 19:27, or Vayikra. It's actually, as we cross with a different language, there's a problem with that term Leviticus, but so we use Vayikra now and then. But no problem in English, no problem in Hebrew that I know of. Leviticus 21:5, 2 Kings 2:23, Job 1:20, or some would say Job 1:20, and the Restoration Scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research. I call them ISR for short. And try our recommended websites, our recommended links. So the various methods, by the way, of attaching the kippah, Velcro works very well. The emissaries, the apostles, and Messiah, Yahusha, and the apostles, or taught ones, did not use Velcro in those days, but we can be sure that Yahusha did not break his Torah, nor his father's Torah, and that he does wear the kippah. And we are to follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. That's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. That's Philippians 4, 9, 1 Peter 2:21. And Jeremiah 6:16, that we might quote here in a minute, if we have time. Why such a big deal about it? Men have thousands of different hats they like to wear with logos. One never hears any complaints about men's hats. But just let someone follow scripture correctly and use the smaller round hat and somebody gets upset. Yochanan chapter 2, that's 1 John chapter 2, 7. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked, even as Messiah walked. 1 John 2:7. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Jeremiah 6. Walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Yet Orthodox male Jews and Hebraic people risk being identified by Yahweh's enemies in wearing the kippah, that is the hat, tallit, the gown there, short hair and beard, short hair, unless you're a Nazirite, and the beard in obedience to the scriptures. These Jews and Hebraics risks being identified and being persecuted. Some of them, their homes were burned. Mostly devout men give of their time to Yahweh. They may not, you know the Messiah, who he is, the one who died on the tree 2,000 years ago, for he died for our sins, and we are saved by faith in him and his unmerited favor, and not by any of our keeping of commandments, that we still do keep them. We still tithe, we still sing, we stand up in the assembly and sing, but it doesn't save us. But we do it anyway, because it's giving magnification to him, giving praise, heavenly praises to him. But a greater thing is to obey rather than offer up our so-called sacrifices or offerings. Mostly devout men give of their time at the Wailing Wall to pray, synagogues, in the privacy of the forest or their homes. So am I willing to endure even that much persecution over what is considered by our brethren a trivial issue? The only logical reason to wear such garments is we love Yahweh. We do not want to offend him, first and foremost. We have fear and awesome respect for our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is able to cast both spirit and soul into hell fire. He doesn't cast three things, he casts spirit and soul into hell fire, soul being the body. The kippah should be worn at least in the assemblies, always. In the assembly, that is. Now, sleeping and doing construction jobs and hunting and swimming and so on, probably taking a bath, are not times to wear the hat or the kippah. And whatever the shape, whatever the color, and Jewish history and tradition cannot serve as the final rule of thumb. An old argument is an argument against wearing it, I guess, is the kippah is symbolic of the sun worship, and the hat is round. So is a person's head. And I said a few minutes earlier, Aaron the high priest and all believers would then be guilty of sun worship. And that was not the case, definitely. Aaron was not guilty of sun worship. Something else round like the sun. Yeah. Should our heads be removed? Well, some of them will be, but most of them will not. I don't want to start that thing going again. Yeah. Someone predicted that Damascus was going to be nuked in 9/11, that's September, I think, 11th of 2010, and then his friend came up later on and predicted a different date of, I think it was the second month, the second pagan month, or common month, of 2011, to be the very final, possibly, final time that Damascus would be nuked. I don't know anything about any of the to speak of out of these issues and the timing, but I'm going to go on record as saying that nothing will happen significantly in Scripture until after those dates. If I'm wrong, they can send me a couple of stones, and I'll find some people around to get it done, you know. But we will do exactly what we know according to, as we read Scripture. Scripture interprets itself. There's no excuse for ignorance if we haven't taken the initiative and the time and effort to read the Scripture and try to look up a couple of things here and there. It's not rocket science, and ignorance is not bliss. The Western person is so obsessed with not having to walk in the Torah, he forgets that Yahweh wants him to have a joyful life and future. They say it is bondage to wear the hat, the beards, the tzitzis, to keep the Sabbath, the new moons, and to eat clean. That's supposedly bondage, to go to a feast day and, you know, enjoy good preaching and resting, sleeping and fellowshipping and eating and more eating. Yeah, no, don't eat too much there. That's a sin too. Yahweh, Creator and Messiah, has given us these good judgments to keep in the feasts and the wearing of these separated garments for our blessing. And we ought to love to tithe, to attend services, eat the commanded clean foods, and not want to have pagan things. Of course, if a person is not even concerned with the main issues, that is repentance from the Ten Commandments, from breaking the Ten Commandments, why would he even worry about repenting from the so-called minor commandments? To a true believer, there is no minor commandment. Jeremiah 14 says that they covered their heads in shame. And that refers, by the way, to one putting the hand over his head in unbelief. In our understanding, and having looked that up, Jeremiah 14:3, they covered their heads in shame. They put the hand over the head in unbelief. As if the wearing of a kippah is such a big inconvenience and so costly. Well, they cost $3 or more. Oh, that's too much. Our Messianic TV evangelist is more concerned that we are showing respect to the rabbi, and that's true. We're showing love, respect, and obedience to the rabbi, Yahweh, the Messiah. So may he bless you. And when I get to the pearly gates, now there is no pearly gate. I won't go into that, but that's on the website there, and you can read the rest of it. There is a law about the wearing of beards for religious reasons. It goes along with keeping the Sabbath. It's found in U.S. federal statutes regarding beards and the Sabbath. Can be found at www.biblesabbath.org. And it's kind of long here. Another one is giveshare.org. Giveshare.org. And you can look up and find out where the law is on that about keeping the Sabbath. You can look in their in-depth study about the laws. It's a very, very useful tool there. And once again, that other website was biblesabbath.org/article/sabbathwork. Look for Civil Rights Act of 1964. This is a U.S. federal, not just a state thing, but U.S. Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title 7, as amended, Section 701J, the J in parenthesis, Sections 703 and 717. Now, don't try to remember all of this if you're, you know, just driving along. Part 9, Part 12 of EEO Guidelines. See scheduling and practices, including beards. Proof of burden, or rather the burden of proof, is on the employer concerning undue hardship. It means that the employer, that she has to hire a replacement person to fill in for you, and this is what is known as reasonable accommodation. The employer must choose which least disadvantages you, including her extra costs. Aha, yeah. Well, that's what the law says. I haven't found that true, that they haven't kept it. I haven't been able to keep my jobs due to their breaking of this law and breaking all the other commandments as well that they do. And that Yahweh is holding us up in his special care. You know, we're walking along and he's carrying us all the way. We trust in him. And once again, remember that scripture, that whosoever looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. And also Psalm 119 and Psalm 19, both of those which go together well, Psalm 19 being the short one, and then I'll just finish up on that note because we've gone for 38 minutes or so here on this particular file about black hats, and I've covered a number of things. I think there is maybe one or two more quick things here. Oh, as the Western world and Western religions, they're concerned about in Protestantism about their different laws, and basically boils down to no drinking, no dancing, no swearing, and no smoking. And particularly those last two items there, the swearing and smoking, are definitely forbidden in Scripture, but, you know, there's a lot of man-made laws that try to give us a higher standard that Yahweh, you know, didn't say where to go to that standard. He gives us his standard in the Word. Can you recite the Shema? Hear, O Israel, do you know Deuteronomy 6 in Hebrew? Well, whether or not you do, it's not going to save you. It would be nice to know that. I think that's a good prayer to know in Hebrew, but it's not required, and it doesn't show that you're any more spiritual or intellectual. Don't esteem a person by the clothing that she wears. Another question they're concerned about, have you toured Jerusalem? You know, if you haven't been there, then you're just not spiritual, according to some thinking, you know. Well, they may have been to Jerusalem, but they don't, you know, they couldn't tell you the Ten Commandments, forward or backwards, you know. That, not to criticize people, but that's, there's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that, you know, going to Jerusalem at this particular time to visit Taco Time or something is going to save us. Sorry about that, but that's, you know, that's, my feeling. But I'd love to go there sometime in Yahweh's protection and in his blessing and direction. Psalm 19. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is very little reward. There is great reward. You caught me on that one. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That was Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer.